Well, see, that's the key. Mm-hmm. That's the real key is understanding the companies that are here, mm-hmm. but then understanding how to build real access to those companies for the school district. Mm-hmm. Schools do things a certain way. Businesses do things mm-hmm. a certain way. Mm-hmm. You're the translator mm-hmm. between the schools and the businesses mm-hmm. because they speak different languages. I wish everyone knew the type of commitment that you have and the things that you've done to make sure that people have opportunity here.
This episode is brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, the state's leading provider of workers' compensation insurance. Since 1991, Texas Mutual has been helping employers prevent workplace accidents. To learn more about how Texas Mutual provides a competitively priced source of workers' comp insurance for Texas employers, visit www.texasmutual.com. Welcome to Austin Hires Local, your inside access to the work behind workforce development, powered by Workforce Solutions Capital Area. Join us as we dive deep into conversations with trailblazers across the local, state, and national workforce development ecosystem. From elected officials to industry leaders and educators, we uncover candid insights and innovative solutions shaping our workforce landscape. Get ready to explore the intersection of education, economy, and opportunity. This is Austin Hires Local, where the future of our workforce begins.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Austin Hires Local podcast. My name is Tamara Atkinson. I am the CEO of Workforce Solutions Capital Area. And on our podcast, we have on-the-record conversations with leaders from across our community who are going to share with us what they think about workforce development, economic development, and education. And today you are in for a real treat. We have with us my friend, Travis County Commissioner from Precinct 1, Jeff Trevelyan.
Good to see you.
Nice to see you too, Commissioner. Commissioner, I'm hoping in our conversation today, we can touch on a number of workforce development and education topics. I happen to know that you care a lot about business, not only how we attract them, but particularly how we support them with a skilled workforce and what their part of that bargain is.
Yes.
I'm hoping you'll also talk to us about the role of schools in our community in creating, supporting, growing that talent. And then what we as a community, what we owe our schools in exchange. And then third, I'm hoping that you will talk about what I've heard you speak very eloquently about many times, which is young people, what we owe them, and particularly what you're excited about that we can offer them as a result of the election in November. Are you game for having a conversation with me today?
Absolutely. I look forward to going through all of those issues and maybe catching up on a few more things as well.
All right, let's just jump right in.
All right.
So, given that we're workforce solutions, and so we focus on jobs and building careers, but often jobs are the building blocks to careers, there's a question I like to ask all my guests as a first question, so I'm going to turn it to you. Commissioner, what was your first job?
I had a great first job. Mm-hmm. I was a lifeguard because I liked to swim and was willing to get certified to swim. Mm-hmm. I was brought on to the city of Port Gibson, Mississippi, where my father was superintendent of education. And I learned to, well, I got certified and learned how to manage a swimming pool. And I think I might have been in eighth grade.
Eighth grade, and you had that kind of responsibility.
It was. Well, the good news is I was the young trainee. Uh-huh. I was assigned to one of the older instructors, and they made sure that I was everywhere that I was supposed to be and that I was doing what I was supposed to do.
What did you learn in that first job experience?
Well, I learned the importance of preparation. You know, you had to be certified, and a certain confidence came with that certification that you could do the job that was placed in front of you. You needed to be timely. Nobody wants their pool to open late.
That's true.
You know,
especially the moms with the little kids.
That's right. That's right. And you have to be willing to stay until the end of the day and do your part in cleanup as well. Mm-hmm. So it was an honor to have that job, but you had to make sure that you didn't only do the fun parts, that you did the other important parts, and that you were a part of a team.
Were those good life lessons then?
I thought very good life lessons, and that's some of the best aerobic exercise that you'll ever get. So it helped me in everything that I was doing at the time, particularly preparation for basketball season.
All right.
So, yeah.
Did you ever get to save anyone's life?
Well, if they had put their feet down, they could have saved themselves. But I did pull a few people out.
That also sounds like a life lesson. Put your feet on the ground, you'll be okay. Yeah, I love that. You know. So, Commissioner, I've had the honor, and it's really been an honor, to get to work with you for years in this community.
Thank you.
In workforce development, your commitment, your steadfast commitment to workforce development, to the people of Travis County, to seeing that everyone has an opportunity is truly outstanding.
Thank you.
I'm wondering, from your vantage point, as you look at where we are now in our community, what do you see right now in terms of what are the key workforce challenges that maybe are keeping you up at night? Have you whispering in my ear?
Yes,
and
yes,
others,
yes.
As well as where do you see that those challenges could transition into opportunities?
Well, I'm a teacher's kid first.
Okay.
And the most important thing is to make sure that our young people understand that there are many wonderful things that you can work at. You can work at things you love. You have to make yourself available for training. And you have to be willing to start at the bottom and work up. Mm-hmm. I learned as a student, as a pupil, and as a teacher's kid that I should always do my best. I should always be on time. I should always be presentable. I think when we start with our kids early, and when we make sure that they understand all of the different jobs around them, and we give them an opportunity to train and learn and be successful, that ultimately, as they learn these things in school, they can take them with them as they go into either the workforce or into college or to the military, wherever they go. Our goal is always to provide access, not just access, though guided access.
Mm-hmm. I love that you're saying that. And Commissioner, I'd love it if you'd talk about this on the podcast. You and I have had several conversations over the years about the GI Bill, mm-hmm. or a promise to our community and there being a give and take in that.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit more about that through the lens of workforce development, even youth development?
Yes.
What would you love to see us do in Travis County as it relates to helping young people, helping workers understand their responsibility, but also what we in turn are willing to do in exchange?
So when you look at the GI Bill, it was a contract between a person who went into the Army and the Army itself. Mm-hmm. The Army promised that they would train you for a job that was needed in the economy. They would give you dollars for training at college after you left the military, and they would give you a mechanism to save money and even buy a house. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that it is a great federal program, a great national program. How do we localize that? Mm-hmm. How do we tell a student that is a real good student in math or a real good student in technology? Mm-hmm. And we have, as a government, encouraged companies to come here through tax abatements. Samsung, Tesla, Apple. So what we tell the companies is, look, we want you to come here and we want you to hire 50% of the people in this area. Mm-hmm. Well, we want to take the people, the youth in this area, and train them to work for those companies. It's important for us to believe and understand that as we invest tax dollars, that they not only create opportunities for companies here, but they create opportunities for the people who live in these communities to work for those companies. Mm-hmm. So that ultimately, the tax dollars that we invest through tax abatements are creating jobs that will be available for the people who live in this community. So it's important for us then, when we talk to school districts, to talk about childcare, to talk about after-school programs, to talk about summer internships, to talk about teacher externships. It is important that every dollar that we invest brings value to the community that we serve.
You have a long tenure in public service, and you know—
Only 40 years.
Okay, yeah. so you're still a baby in the industry. So you have a long tenure, and you know one of the levers of government is policy. Do you feel like we have the right policies in place right now to get to that covenant contract, whatever you want to call it, the agreement with business and our community? Do you think we have the right policies in place? Or if you had a crystal ball, are there additional ways you would like to see us incentivize or ask our business community to participate with us?
When we talk about public policy and when we talk about work in the public space, we have to talk about partnerships as well. The government cannot do everything, nor can the private sector. However, we can come together to support a tax rate election that provides childcare for people who work in business and will provide after-school care for anyone who has kids and does not get out of work until 7 o'clock, or to provide summer opportunities. It is important for us to recognize that we have to build partnerships and work together. Now, that begs the question, does local government align well with state government? Does state government align well with federal government? Well, unfortunately, sometimes that goes in cycles. It's not the same way every year. When you look at the last 4 years as we worked with the federal government, we got consistent amount of dollars to make sure that we were addressing affordable housing. But as we addressed affordable housing, we started talking about how do you build a master planned community? Has that developer talked to the school district? What types of after-school programs do we have at the school district? How close is the doctor's office? Are we on a public transit line? Where's the grocery store? We try to make sure that we're looking at things holistically. There are many things that we can do locally, but we need to work with our state as well. We need to work with our federal government as well. It makes it easier. There are times when we don't have a great relationship and we can do some things on our own, but it works best when we are all looking at our entire community and figuring out how everybody can thrive in that area rather than just people that I know.
This episode is brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, the state's leading provider of workers' compensation insurance. Since 1991, Texas Mutual has been helping employers prevent workplace accidents. To learn more about how Texas Mutual provides a competitively priced source of workers' comp insurance for Texas employers, visit www.texasmutual.com.
You mentioned about childcare and the tax rate election, but I happen to know from conversations with you and, of course, working with your team and others in the community, that the tax rate election wasn't just about childcare. It includes services for other young people as well, particularly young people engaged in out-of-school time. And you were a leading advocate in ensuring that that population, the young person population, was also included. Can you talk a little bit about why? Why was that so important to you? And what do you hope for? What do you expect to see out of that initiative now that it's been passed?
I believe that it was necessary to look on not only at early child care, but after-school programs and job preparation programs. I think that it is really important to make sure that our kids are in safe learning spaces for as long as we can keep them there. And I believe that because my father was a principal. Mm-hmm. And what I came to understand was, and what I have observed as an adult is, that my kids that are in programs are not my kids that are in trouble. Mm. And what I mean by that is, when we have families that are living around the poverty line, the question is, do I have all of the resources that will take care of my kids so I can actually work? Well, I haven't had a job in 25 years where I got off at 3 o'clock when my kids got out of school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's important for me to have a place for my kids to have supervision, hopefully for them to get a third meal, for them to get some assistance with their homework, and then for them to have enrichment. And what I mean by enrichment is, if you're in the band, well, after you've completed your homework and after you've eaten your meal, the band room's open. Mm-hmm. If I'm interested in reading, well, the library's open. Mm-hmm. If I'm interested in plays, well, the auditorium is open. Mm-hmm. If I play ball, the gym is open. Mm-hmm. We want safe places for youth until 7 o'clock in the evening when the many parents get off of work. We know that the biggest institutions in most neighborhoods will be your public school. Mm-hmm. How do we provide programming at your public school? Mm-hmm. How do we make sure that you take advantage of the learning opportunities that are available? How do we make sure that you can find out about the summer job at the county? Mm-hmm. How do we make sure that we prepare you to go and work for Tesla or for Samsung, because you work through Workforce Solutions, mm-hmm, and you get the training
that plug
takes you right there. How do we work with Workforce Solutions to make sure that our teachers are getting externships in the summer? Mm-hmm. It's important that we build an ecosystem. It's important that we not just have transactions, but we tell a child, if you come here, if you work hard, if you keep your nose clean, you'll have an opportunity to work for one of these 50 Fortune 500 companies that we have brought into this market, and that you have a real opportunity because we have got each of these industries talking together. We have got our Workforce Solutions team working with our county team, working with our ISDs to make sure that we're doing the things that we need to do to build partnerships and connect the dots.
What is the upper age threshold for young people in out-of-school time?
So we expect our resources to be used from 0 to 18.
To 18.
Yes.
So I had an opportunity right before the holidays to speak with a leader in the Manor School District, mm-hmm, who, when asked what young people in Manor School District, for example, really needed, he said they need access to employers and work experience. Like, they need to, it is exactly what you said. So my question to you is, do you hope or do you know if the TRE would allow for funding to help connect young people with some of those work experiences, including facilitating that connection with those employers?
Our expectation is that it will.
Okay.
What we want to do and what we have done, what Workforce Solutions has been willing to do every time we've asked, is to go to ISDs, mm-hmm, is to go to churches, is to go to community institutions and talk about the services that are available. Mm-hmm. Many times what we find is students just don't know. Mm-hmm. They've never been to your website. Their counselors are not as engaged as they might be. So what we want to do is make sure that we're talking to the Chamber of Commerce. We go every time they invite us. Mm-hmm. That we're talking to the Educational Foundation. That we are talking to the superintendent and whomever he designates to make sure that they are aware of the dollars that we're investing and the places where we're investing them. You'll often hear me talk about an asset map, and that is, you know, going into an area and knowing all of the institutions in a zip code area, who is doing what at what level of success. Is this zip code area similar to another one where an effective program is operating? We have worked, it used to be with the Austin Project, now it's Austin Voices. We are trying to make sure that we identify all of the assets in the community and we make sure that people know how to get to the resources that they need and the people who are providing those resources for them.
So I mentioned before that you have a long esteemed career in public service. As you think back over your career, are there any big challenges that you tried to tackle that you feel like you haven't yet been able to tackle that you really would love to see our community solve?
What you find when you do civil rights work, what you find when you work in the public space is that things are cyclical. You know, you look at Brown versus the Board of Education, and you think that, well, certainly the problem with segregated schools was solved. But you also have to recognize that it is not just the school. It is where people were allowed to live in different generations. There was a time where you could only live, if you were African-American, between 7th Street, East Avenue, which is now 35, 19th Street, which is now MLK, out to Weberville Road. That was the place that was designated for you. Now you ask, what was the infrastructure like there? What were the roads like? What was the water system like? What was the school system like? Well, you know, there was a time when Elsie Anderson was one of the best-run institutions in the community. You know, whatever resources that it was given, they were certainly not equal, but they built a system that they could be proud of. Well, when you look at the way schools have been invested in since the 50s, you understand that there are challenges. You know, even though you had a good school with Elsie Anderson, it still didn't produce all of the excellence that it could have produced. It produced excellent business owners. It produced principals like Charles Aikens. It produced, coaches. It produced even a secretary of the treasury from right there in East Austin and then Houston-Tillotson. But now what you've seen over the last 25 years is an underfunding of the public education system, and it has harmed people who live around the poverty line. So it's important for us to understand the challenges that we have, build an ecosystem that will deliver success, but understand that just because you're successful today does not guarantee that you will always be funded properly and be successful tomorrow. Or you'll need a different set of resources, or you'll need a different set of professionals. We have to make sure that we are producing the people and the access that is necessary for success. And sometimes in a hostile environment, and many times when we talk about a deep Southern environment, they're often hostile to young women, to minorities, and to poor people. And we have to make sure that we are augmenting the resources that they need to have access to, but they haven't been given access to.
I don't hear a lot of leaders these days speaking in the way that you're speaking, so thank you for sharing that. So you talked about things being cyclical. Our economy is in a state right now where it's strong, but that doesn't mean that there aren't challenges in making sure that people in our community have access to skill building that can lead them to those opportunities. So what do you see as workforce trends on the horizon that you would really like to call out for us in the community who are working in this space of employment, education, preparation? What do you think we should be focused on? And how might Travis County be part of that as we look to this coming year?
Well, I think that it is important to say that this is a very strong economy. When you think about Texas, not only is it one of the stronger economies in the country, but we would be the eighth largest economy in the world. Mm. So I think it's really important to recognize, and you almost have to think about it like a sports team. You know, you do everything that you can to recruit the right companies, to recruit the right people, and everybody is in place and they like it here. Mm-hmm. The only way they're going to want to stay here is if we stock them well. Mm-hmm. And when I say stock them well, I mean when we bring companies that need skill sets, then we've got to make sure that we're producing these skill sets in our schools. When we brought a Tesla in, when we brought a Samsung in, we told them, we want 50% of the people who work here to be from Travis County. Mm-hmm. So it's important for us then to make sure that the caliber of students that we are preparing that come out of not only the Austin Independent School District, but the Round Rock Independent School District, but the Pflugerville Independent School District, Del Valle Independent School District, Manor, Elgin, all of those. We have to make sure that we are giving students the experiences that they need to seamlessly go into those workspaces. Not just the companies, oftentimes the companies that help build them. You need electricians, you need plumbers, mm-hmm. you need carpenters, you need people who understand how to construct and reconstruct roads. You need people that can build water and wastewater infrastructure. So we've got to make sure that the people that are coming through our school district are on point and on grade level with their reading, that they have access to enrichment opportunities that take them to a thinkery, that take them to view Tesla, that take them onto UT's campus. We saw in some poor communities kids who grew up three blocks from UT that never went on the campus. Mm. We've got to change that type of behavior. But we change that by making sure that school districts have resources and that we encourage school districts to interact with the institutions of higher education, with our major employers, with our local workforce board. We have to make sure that we demystify the opportunities that are available and make it possible for kids to learn through all of the building blocks. You know, I have an 8-year-old grandson, and he told his pop that he wanted to be a scientist. I said, well, what does that mean? He said, well, I have a website and it teaches me about the ocean. He knows the name of every dinosaur. It's amazing to me. He's very interested in space. He told me about the eclipse before it happened. Well, that is a function of having teachers for parents. His parents are teachers. Their expectation, if he's going to be on the computer, is that he's not going to be doing something just for fun. He's going to be doing something that he'll learn from. And I'm very proud to say he made all A honor roll. he is a good student, and we expect
I'm not surprised.
That he might be an engineer. Mm-hmm. And I'm just hoping that he can take care of his pop when he gets to that age.
So. I think that sounds fantastic. And so you talk about, you mentioned your grandson and maybe he can take care of you. It dawns on me as I get older and realize I've been in public service, different area, but public service for now more than 20 years myself. You mentioned over 40 years. I'm wondering, Commissioner, have you thought about legacy? Have you thought about what you would like to be known for? Not that you're going anywhere anytime mm-hmm, soon, mm-hmm. but what do you want to be known for given everything that you've accomplished? So I have pages of accomplishments from you, but what would you like to be known for?
So when you think about it, you want the people who you care most about and who care the most about you to know that you would fight for what you believe in, mm-hmm. To know that if you believe in public education, that you spend time in public schools trying to make sure that everything that is needed on campuses is provided on campuses. If you work in the public sector, you want to make sure that you're helping to fund programs that train people and allow their careers to progress. You want to make sure that you are building opportunities so that someone can look at a job description and say, yes, that is what I do. And then you train them to do the job that's above that. And above that, I want to be able to say that we put the learning mechanisms in place so that children could find their way to the job that they wanted, to find a thing that they believed in. But then when they got that job, they were still being prepared to be leaders. They were still being prepared to not only learn their job, but to help people learn how to do their job so they could promote. But ultimately, you learn these jobs because your goal is to serve the community that relies on you to make decisions spending their tax dollars.
I love that. Thank you. And I can say to anyone watching this podcast that you are as authentic and consistent on the record as you are when it's just you and me talking. Your commitment to young people and doing what you say you're going to do is throughout. Permeates everything that you do and that you are. So thank you for everything you do in this community. We are lucky to have you, and I'm lucky to call you a friend, Commissioner. Thank you.
Thank you. You're very kind. And I just appreciate the work that you do, that you care about what you're doing, that you bring in a professional team, that you're always grooming and training, that there's not a community that you won't go into to make sure that people have access. It means so much. And I wish everyone knew the type of commitment that you have and the things that you've done
to
make sure that people have opportunity here. Because a lot of people define who they are by what they do.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner. We're a good team.
Love working with you.
Thanks for listening to Austin Hires Local, powered by Workforce Solutions Capital Area. To learn more about what you heard today or to see what Workforce Solutions Capital Area can do for you, visit WFSCapitalArea.com. To stay updated on new episodes, subscribe to Austin Hires Local on your podcast app of choice. Until next time.